Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Back to the scriptures, that was what Jesus went with when it came to temptation. And we know that he came back in the power of the Spirit. And there was another, I guess I've got it open to it right here. Right after this, he came back and he went into the synagogue. You remember what happened there? That he opened the scroll to Isaiah, found the place where something was written, and he read it. What did he read? Verse 18 of chapter 4 in Luke. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, he sat there and read words that had been written hundreds of years, 700 or so years earlier, and reads them. This was not a Sunday school lesson. This was not just a lesson about correct doctrine. This was absolutely words that God had spoken by the inspiration of his Spirit hundreds of years later, caused them not only to be written on scrolls, but preserved. I mean, the preservation of Scripture is miraculous, to say the least. You look back in history. I mean, I remember reading one time about that, one of the most famous characters in history was Julius Caesar. But are you aware that there probably aren't more than four or five words, things that are written about him that actually come from his time frame? I mean, there's barely any real evidence where you can look and say, oh yeah, Julius Caesar. But we have thousands and thousands and thousands of manuscripts that God has miraculously preserved. Words that go all the way back to Moses, thousands of years ago. And then Paul and everybody in the New Testament. You think maybe God had a reason? Do you think it was just about information? Or did God mean for something to happen? Because Jesus said, now it's time for these words to be fulfilled. It's like God spoke something, but there was something in it that was meant to happen. You remember how many times we've talked about how, when God does something, what does he do? He speaks. Let there be light, and the power that was in the word itself went out and created light. So was God just recording words so that we could look at Jesus and say, oh, isn't that amazing? Look at all the stuff that was predicted. Was God predicting or was he creating? See, we live in a physical creation that an amazing God created simply by speaking. The stars, the galaxies, the endless, all that we see, and yet we know this is all temporary, but it was his power that went forth and did all that. Well, do you think there's any power that we need in the new creation? See, that's what it's really all about. The same God who created stars wants to interact with us and share his life and his power with us in ways that that are life-changing, that are destiny-changing. And I confess, there's so many areas where I can look at it in my own experience and you find ways to sort of sidestep and explain away, and oh yeah, it's true, but it's what we're really saying. Not me, not here, not now. Thank God for what he did. Just rejoice in that, but I need something now that changes me in the moment. And here's Jesus looking at things that God had said hundreds of years before, and time again, we read in the accounts of his life, such and such happened that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Scripture might be fulfilled. Over and over again, you find out that there was a reason God spoke through the mouth of the prophets. It wasn't just the power to put ink on paper. The power was in the words themselves that God had a purpose to fulfill. Because he says in Isaiah 55, so shall the word, my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I purpose. Just because something God speaks something, it doesn't happen that instant, doesn't mean it's not there. It's not going to happen. Because God laid down the tracks, if you will, for everything that happened in Jesus' life. It was all done before he even came on the scene. He had to step into his destiny by saying, I'm not here to do my will, I'm here to do his will. And all of the power that he needed was there. And it's like God had said all these things so many centuries before, and now that power was being unlocked and released through his ministry. What an amazing, simple thing. He didn't have to come up with the ideas. Now, yes, he went out and God led him, told him what to do, but everything he did was also an expression of what was written in this book. Praise God. So it's easy to say, oh yeah, well that's true of Jesus. We all know he came and he did all that he did, and that was a fulfillment of Scripture, and that's wonderful, and we can read about it and rejoice in it, and that's it. Is it? What about the day of Pentecost? Let's see if I didn't mark all these scriptures, so let's see if I can find this. Yeah. Here's Peter standing up before everybody to explain what was going on. Now, by the way, I agree with those that rightly say, I believe that all this took place in the temple, not in an upper room. Because that's where they spent their days. They spent their nights in an upper room. They spent their days in the temple, if you look at the end of Luke. So anyway, they were there on the day of a feast, and all of a sudden the Lord came down and anointed a bunch of people with power, with fire, and they began to speak in the languages of the people that were there. And it was obviously miraculous. And so Peter's standing up, because some people said, well, they're just drunk. So Peter stands up and he says, no, this is only the ninth hour. We haven't got drunk. We're not drunk. But anyway, then he begins to say, this is what was spoken. Verse 16 of chapter 2 in Acts. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. God set something in motion through the lips of a man named Joel, a prophet named Joel in the Old Testament, caused that to be written down and preserved. And now it was time for the power that was in those words to be released to where it was actually doing the thing that God had sent it out to do. Do you see what's going on here? It's like the Lord locked up some power in those scriptures. All right, now it's time. All right, now this doesn't have to do with Jesus himself, does it? Listen to what he says. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. They will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's not just about Jesus, is it? That's about us. And he goes on and talks about the promises of how the Lord was going to, you know, everything that the Lord had said was going to happen to his people throughout all ages. Does that mean here? Does that mean us? Does that mean now? See, I'm not talking just about signs and wonders, but is that us? Are we meant just to have a religion called Christianity? Or do we need to see and experience the power that was being talked about there in our lives? I'll tell you where it needs to start. It doesn't need to start with me, you know, performing miracles. It needs to start with me being free. There isn't a person here who doesn't have some kind of chain in their life. Some kind of hold where the devil has got you kind of restricted, held down, in bondage to this, in bondage to that. Unbelief. Do you think maybe the Lord wants to set people free? Do you think he can? Do you think he will? Or is that just for another time, another place? I need him. God means for his kingdom to be something that is real. You know, the things that you read about in the Bible that God did through his people. There's a lot of people out there that they excuse the lack of power by saying, oh, that was only for them. Now we got the Bible. That's all we need. And so they sit there and study the Bible and go right back to being like the scribes and the Pharisees. I need both. I need a Lord who is with us and able to speak to us. Able to say, don't go this way, go that way. But I also need a God who is going to take the power that is in the Word of God, the written Word of God, and absolutely release it into my life now. Is that not the missing ingredient? It's wonderful to be able to quote things, but these words are not just magic formulas. The devil's not afraid of words. He's afraid of the Spirit that is released through the words. When we are in harmony with him and desiring his will and just yielding to, and actually believing it. Like I say, what a concept. Praise God. Is this a need? Do you see what's so easy to get? You see how you can get from the church in Acts to the Laodicean church and think everything's okay because we're still using the same book, still believe the same things up here. But where is the power that I need to be free? Where is the power to be able to do the things that are necessary? Do we cast out devils? Are there not occasions when it's appropriate for someone sick to be healed? God doesn't do that anymore. I mean, you can go in ditches with all of those kinds of things, and people do. But that stuff is real. Those things are real. God has not changed. We are the ones who have listened to other voices. And suppose that a powerless church that just says the right things is good enough. Well, it's not. And if God's going to use us in this hour, I believe with all my heart we're going to have to, there's going to be some things that have to change in our lives, in our faith. Now, here's a thought. And we already know what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. He took Old Testament prophecy and applied it to the church age, really, all the way right down to judgment.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.